Welcome to episode 2 of the Total MLS Roundtable. Tonight we will be previewing the Eastern Conference. We have a handful of our Eastern Conference writers on the roundtable tonight to discuss their teams as well as the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference. My name is Dustin Richardson. I cover the Houston Dynamo for Total MLS. I'll let the other guys introduce themselves. We'll go around the room. Rob, who was here last week, if you tuned in.
Yeah, I'm Rob Ditta. I'll be covering Toronto FC. You can follow me on Twitter at Rob Ditta.
And Philip, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Philip Up. You can follow me at Philip Up, and I cover Sporting KC.
Champions represented in the hangout tonight. James, go ahead.
Yeah, JR or James Patton from Chicago, cover the Fire. You can follow me on Twitter at Hook and Letters SG.
And Mike in the Big Apple.
I'm Mike Trickle. I cover the Red Bulls, and you can follow me at Trickolini.
All right, so that is our roundtable tonight. We'll go ahead and get started with looking at each team. We'll go through each team, look at how they did last year. Look at some key additions, some key losses, give our thoughts on each team, and then some predictions towards the end. So we'll start in no particular order, actually alphabetical. We'll start with the Chicago Fire. Last year, they finished just out of the playoffs, sixth place on 49 points. I think they were tied with Montreal. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So they lost out on goal differential or goals for or coin flip or whatever MLS is using nowadays as a tiebreaker. So they're just out of the playoffs. They did have the MVP of the league, however, Mike McGee, who came over in mid-season from Los Angeles. McGee has hinted at a holdout. Have you heard anything else about that?
He's not going to hold out. The rumor started kind of swirling last night, and I think the Fire reacted pretty quickly today. They made two moves. One of them was terminating the contract of Federico Pupo, who hasn't played here in a couple of years but was still kind of on loan, and that was one of the bigger debacles of a couple of years ago. He was brought in and signed to a DP contract and never really panned out. And then later in the afternoon, it broke on Twitter that the Fire were sending Austin Berry to Philadelphia for allocation money, and that's a move that got some people rubbed the wrong way. I think Austin's been a fan favorite ever since he came on 2 years ago and won the Rookie of the Year. He was a star center back paired with Arne Friedrich in his rookie year, and his performance dipped a little bit last year. I think you could attribute it to a sophomore slump and a lack of, you know, Friedrich being back there with him. But it looks like they're clearing up the cap space to get McGee back in and get him to a contract that's worthy of an MVP.
Yeah, I think that was the trade-off with that Austin Berry trade. A lot of people didn't want to see him go, but it was kind of a must-do. The dogs have joined the roundtable.
That's my dog.
So Berry had to go in order to get some cash for McGee, like you said. But that brings in a whole new center back pairing now. Patrick Ioane, John Kennedy Hurtado came over from Seattle. Are they the likely starters now?
Sorry about the dog, he's a puppy. But I think the starters you'll see, Baki Sumari, who came over from Philadelphia last year, and you'll see Hurtado with him. Hurtado, of course, is trying to earn his way back into the good graces of Fire. No, I'm just kidding. If anybody remembers the debacle a few years ago, the choke incident in Seattle with Marco Papa. Hmm. But I think in the preseason so far, Hurtado and Sumari have looked good. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, it was tough to lose Berry, but I don't feel that there's going to be a big drop off there. And coming from a team that gave up a ridiculous number of goals last year, I can't say that I'm sad to see a little bit of shifting around on the back line. And with Fire legend C.J. Brown back this year on the coaching staff, I think you'll see an improvement either way.
Yeah, that's probably the one question mark for Chicago, their defense. McGee's going to score. They added Benji Hoya from Liga MX. And also Harrison Shipp, a homegrown signing. He seems to be a star on the rise.
Yeah, one of the things we've talked about a lot in preseason talk is the depth at midfield that we have, especially with some of the young kids that we've got. Harry Shipp, I know if anybody's gotten a chance to see him play in the preseason, he obviously won a national championship this year with Notre Dame, and he's been a stud in preseason so far, and of course adding a player like Benji Hoya is huge. And I think that you're going to see one of the things that we lacked under Frank Klopas was the use of our kids that we had. Victor Pineda is another one who hasn't really seen a lot of time. I think you're going to see a lot of younger kids getting an opportunity to play this year, and you're going to see that most in our midfield where there's a lot of depth and youth at the same time.
Yeah, new coach in Chicago, so obviously some new tactics, some new formations, and a changing of the guard a little, as you said, with some new guys probably getting a chance. Where the other guy? We'll go to some of the other guys here on the round table. Your thoughts on Chicago, their moves this season. Can McGee replicate his 2013 season? All on the table.
Oh, who's going to be feeding McGee? Is it still going to be Dilly Duca? I mean, you guys lost Lampere on the wing, which, you know, probably wasn't a big loss for you guys. I mean,
no.
It was a bigger loss for us the year before because, you know, he produced really well for the Red Bulls in his career.
Yeah.
But it's going to be who's going to be feeding McGee and who's going to be scoring besides McGee. That's what I want to know. Is it Anangno?
Yeah, that's always been the question. Yeah, no, Palladini's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. That's always been the question with the Fire, hasn't it? The last few years, who's going to, you know, before McGee was there, who's going to score? And then when McGee came, who's going to score besides McGee? It'll be interesting to see now that Anangno had a full offseason here and he's kind of gotten used to the league a little bit, if he comes on and performs to the DP level contract that they brought him in at last year. You know, Chris Rolfe is always an option there. Alex, our young, talented midfielder who it seems like Harry Shipp might be challenging him for playing time right away, but I think, you know, Patrick Nyako obviously on the other side. There's guys there that can create. It was always the lack of a guy who could put the ball in the back of the net. And I think, you know, McGee obviously showed last year he can do that. Now let's hope he can replicate that and continue on this season. And we don't have something like a few years ago when Dominic Roduro came on and once the league got used to his speed and his technique, you know, once they shut Oduro down, it basically shut the Fire down. So they're going to need some other options up front besides McGee.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, I think, too, where McGee plays. You know, he kind of played on the wing a little. He's not really a central forward, is he? I mean, he kind of likes to come in off the wings, you think?
Yeah, and I think having, guys like Anangno and Rolfe up there, they can all kind of move around a little bit. Anangno's obviously your big guy up front, but in a lot of, it seemed a lot of, I won't say he was in the right place at the right time all the time, but some of McGee's goals, if you look back at them from last year, were right place, right time. Of course, there's some talent that goes along with that, too, and I'm not going to deny that. But, God, I hope somebody else besides McGee can score this year. Otherwise, we're going to be in for another long season.
But you got to look at, you know, it's going into a World Cup cycle now, you know, where we're a couple months away from the World Cup, and is that last, you know, forward position his? I mean, we didn't see him against South Korea because he was sick, which is kind of a shame for, you know, a lot of people. A lot of people wanted to see McGee, see what he can do in the, you know, the red, white, and blue. So, I would assume he's going to play forward at least for the beginning of the season, right? I mean, isn't that why, like, say thing like Michael Parkhurst, he's going to be playing, is he going to be playing center back or at right back? Because, you know, what's his better position going into the World Cup? Is it center back or right back? I mean, So wouldn't you assume he's going to play up front?
Yeah, he'll be playing up front. He's definitely the first option as far as goal scoring goes. I'd love to see him, don't get me wrong, playing in Brazil come summertime, but I think I think he was unfortunate to just get robbed by an illness there against South Korea, and he didn't get a chance. And, you know, I don't know how good his chances are going to be to go to the World Cup this year, but we'll see how we'll see how it goes, but, you know, I wouldn't be horribly mad if he stuck around Chicago either.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, does he go to Brazil, you know, sit the bench and never see the 18, or does he stay in Chicago, you know, kind of thing?
Exactly.
You're happy if he goes to the World Cup, but you're kind of also happy if you were just to stay if he's not going to play.
Exactly.
All right, then you guys got any other thoughts on Chicago and their
I mean, I'm surprised they got rid of Barry, in all honesty. When I saw that, I was kind of shocked. I think Austin Barry is a much better defender than Bakary Samari, but I guess, you know, you bring in Ianni and Hurtado from Seattle, those are guys that have played together. So, you know, they have some chemistry how to play. Just can they work with, you know, your fullbacks and Sean Johnson? And, you know, Sean Johnson is one of the good young keepers, so you guys are pretty okay back there. He does have his mistakes every now and then, but not anywhere near as much as, like, Bill Hamid does or Zach Abanth in Philly. I mean, they really have a lot of mistakes, so you guys are pretty good back there. In all honesty, I always... Chicago's one of the teams I always fear playing because, one, the Red Bulls never win in Toyota Park, and, two, they've always been dangerous because speed always killed us, so Nyarko and Adoro used to always blaze us, and Nyarko still just always blazes us. So, I mean, the East is going to be a rough conference this year. So, and the Fire is one of the reasons why.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The East is going to be a very tough conference this year. I think the Fire are an improved team, but I don't know if they're going to be good enough to get in one of the playoff spots out of the East just because of how well some of the other teams have done in the offseason. The Austin Barry move, it's still, you know, it happened just a few hours ago. It's still like a fresh wound to us. You know, he's a player you definitely don't want to see go, and a player that, you know, we thought maybe the team could build around in the next few years, but Samari and Hurtado have looked good, and Ianni and the spurts he's had, and I can only hope that C.J. Brown can work with those guys and get the back line in shape, and like you said, Sean Johnson's one of the best in the game right now, especially in MLS, and hopefully we get to see him stick around here for a few more years and not, you know, bail and go try and play his trade in Europe somewhere. But it's always interesting with the Fire. You always think that they've got enough pieces in place, and things just seem to, you know, weird things happen and things fall apart, and, you know, so it's cautious optimism. But you know, hopefully they can get off to a much better start than they did last year.
All right, so wrapping up the Fire. Do the Fire finish in the play? Do they make the playoffs? One word answer. We'll go around. I'm gonna say no.
Can I go last?
Rob? Yeah, you can go last. Rob, what do you think? Are the Fire a playoff team?
No.
Philip?
Nope.
Mike?
I'll give them, yeah, they're in the playoffs.
All right.
So, I'm going to say
with
yes.
Your Chicago Fire hat on.
I'm going to say yes. I think it's going to be a grind the whole time. But yes.
All right. So we'll move on to one of the Fire's rivals that becomes Firehouse East, I think is what you guys call it. Columbus Crew. The Crew, we talked last week a little about the offseason and about some moves, and I think Columbus was the one team that everyone kind of wrote off in the Eastern Conference as the one team that didn't really have a shot at the playoffs. They've brought in Michael Parkhurst, as we kind of said earlier. They've brought in Hector Jimenez from the Galaxy. They just signed Giancarlo Gonzalez. Eddie Gavin kind of retired out of nowhere.
That was a shock.
Yeah, they traded Chad Marshall. They traded Grunebaum, their keeper. What's in store for the Crew this year? Are they in the middle of a rebuild, or are they patching it together? Can they hold together?
I don't know. It's tough to say with them because, I mean, who's the biggest name that they've had besides Higuain? I mean, he performs out of his mind most of the time for the Crew, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think as Higuain goes, they kind of go. You know,
I think so. If he's healthy, I think, I mean, I don't like him, but they're dangerous. I mean, you saw what they did to TFC in preseason.
Yeah, I think they're going to be one of those teams that, you know, people may write off, but when you see them on the schedule, it's going to be one of those kind of, oh, well, we should win this game, but they're going to get some results, I think.
Well, so they got rid of Grudenbaum. Who's their keeper to back? Who's did they sign anyone or?
Who is their keeper? I'm totally blanking.
Because I know they were talking about this on March the Match, them being possibly playing three in the back. But, signing that new center back from Costa Rica, you think he's going to get a lot of time next to Parker, so they'll probably play four in the back. It's how their defense holds up, and then it's if Higuain and Arrieta can stay healthy, if they can produce. I mean, Higuain can score some pretty nice goals. I mean, he had those two nice chips against New York last season that, you know, we lost on the road late in the season. Well, not late in the season, but late in the summer. But if he has an off year, it's really who's going to put the ball in the back of the net for them.
Yeah, they picked up a keeper, Steve Clark, from Seattle. They also have Matt Lampson. So goalkeeping is probably a question mark for them, definitely. But like you said, they've shored up the back line with Gonzalez, the Costa Rican. They got Parkhurst. Palladini will... And as JR could probably attest to, he'll probably slot into the center of their midfield and help guys like Arrieta and Higuain. You think he's an impact guy for them?
I don't know if he's an impact guy, but he's a player that I personally loved a lot in Chicago, and I know a lot of the other guys that he's one of those guys that, what do they call him, lunch pail type guys. He's a blue-collar guy, you know, he comes in, he plays scrappy. You're definitely going to see some yellow cards when Palladini's out there. But he plays tough, he plays good, and he can score goals from you, and he's got a wicked shot from distance. I don't know how much of Palladini you guys have gotten to see in his limited time when he was playing Chicago, but when he lets it go from the top of the box, he's got a rocket on his foot.
Yeah, he scored a couple last year pretty nice goals. So, yeah, with him and Higuain can score from distance. I mean, they have some guys that could, you know, just score out of nowhere and steal a game, 1-0, 2-1, something like that. So I don't think they're probably not a contender in the East. But then again, I'm not ready to totally write them off. You guys see them competing.
Greg Broharter is new to the club, but, I mean, you know, he's been coaching over in Europe for a little bit. Hasn't he? So, you know, it's not like he's coming straight off the bench, you know, off the field to coach. So, I mean, I don't see them being a playoff team, but they're definitely going to play spoils to some of the teams in the East.
Yeah, I think that's kind of their big question mark too, is Berhalter. You know, he's played in MLS, but like you said, he's now coached overseas. Now he comes back to MLS. You know, what does he bring from his time overseas? What does he bring from his previous MLS experience? It'll be interesting to see his tactics and the way he plays with that crew lineup. All right, so Columbus, playoff team, yes or no? Like I said, I think they can be dangerous. They could nick some points off some contenders, but I'm going to say no. Rob?
Mm-hmm. They'll challenge for it, but I don't think in the end they'll make it.
Philip?
Nah, they'll play gritty, but they're not a playoff team yet.
JR, what do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think there's too much talent in the East. There's not enough playoff spots. No.
Yeah, that's probably where they're going to miss out. If they were a West team, maybe a better shot. Mike?
No.
All right, clean sweep for Columbus. I know everyone on Twitter will now be tweeting us that we don't like the crew.
Well, we don't.
We're just...
Not in Chicago, anyway.
That came from Chicago, Columbus. We're very sorry. All right, so moving on in the East, we go to probably next to Toronto, the team that did a complete overhaul. They finished dead last in the East last year. However, they'll be playing in the Champions League based off their U.S. Open Cup win. We're, of course, talking about DC United. They've brought in a list of players: Davey Arnault, Sean Franklin, Bobby Boswell, Eddie Johnson, Espíndola, Jeff Park. They signed Christian Fernandez. It's a whole new team for Ben Olsen's boys up in the nation's capital. Are they a worst to first kind of story with that the veterans they've brought in? Can they turn it around? I guess the first question is, as we asked a little last week, Eddie Johnson. We've seen his antics, but we also have seen him score and score in bunches. Can Eddie Johnson be that striker that scores 20 goals this season for DC, leads them to the playoffs and further even?
It's really going to come down. I mean, it's going to come down to that's a lot of pieces coming from all over the league. I mean, it's a lot of league veterans, but guys that really haven't played together at all ever. So it's can they gel early on? Can they actually function together as a team? Espíndola being in New York last year, you know, if he's not getting consistent playing time, whether how bad he is, whether if he's dribbling at the entire back line by himself with no one and losing the ball, he's going to be upset if he's not getting playing time. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's a pickup for Champions League play, which is a smart pickup because he's played there with RSL and had a lot of success when RSL made their runs. But, you know, is Eddie Johnson going to have his antics? I don't know if his contract has been resolved or not yet, because I know they were, you know, the reason he left Seattle was because he wanted more money, and he certainly proved that he deserved more money, but, you know, Seattle had a lot of talent and a lot of high-paid players that they just couldn't, I guess, fit under the books. You know, he's rumored to be a cans from the locker room, so it's going to be those two things, and then can that back line improve from last year, because they were a pretty bad back line, and they left Bill Hamid to face a lot of shots. And, you know, as a goalkeeper, you can only do so much before it's just an ungodly amount of shelling that you get. So, you know, Sean Franklin, I mean, he could play in the midfield for them also if he needed to. But, I mean, it's really going to come down to can that team gel, because it's an entirely new team. It's almost like an expansion team. Really coming into the league, the amount of pieces that they picked up. I mean, Pontius had a pretty bad off year last year. I think we could agree on that. I don't even think he scored a goal. Maybe he scored one or two in MLS play. So it's really going to be the key factors if they can gel.
Yeah, last year in the total MLS preseason predictions, a certain writer that covers the Houston Dynamo picked Pontius to win the MVP. So, I still have a...
Nailed it.
Yeah, it didn't go so well. I did, however, pick Sporting versus Real Salt Lake. So, sometimes I know my stuff. So, yeah, they kind of are putting together what's a mini-expansion team. I think what helps, though, is they have some, like you said, some veterans. They have some guys that have worn the armband. Bobby Boswell, Davey Arnaud, guys like that can... not only get that back line straightened out, like you said, they leaked a lot of goals last year, but can also bring that team, you know, just some leadership for guys like Johnson that may, you know, go off the tracks a little at time to time.
The thing with DC is going to be, it's going to take them a little while
to gel. DC United, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's going to take them a little while to gel, I think, but if they can hang around and stay in it, come playoff time, if they're still in the picture, they could be a scary team to play late in the season when these guys start to gel together. The question is going to be, can they hang around and get enough results in the early part of the season to be in that conversation?
Well, then you look at, they also, with the veterans, they have a lot of guys that also play Champions League. Yeah, so the Champions League won't really, you know, Boswell, Arnaud, Eddie Johnson, Espíndola, so that's going to be Sean Franklin. Those are all guys that are the last couple of years have played in a lot of Champions League, so they're not going to, the travel and the midweek games is really, you know, it's not something that bothers them. So, and Ben Olsen has really, really, you know, he has a good squad on paper. I still think, even if they don't make the playoffs this year, I don't think his job is in jeopardy. I mean, unless they win less games than they did last year, which I don't think is possible, unless they have a worse season than they did last year, I think Ben Olsen will be safe even if they don't make the playoffs.
I think they won, what, 3 games last year?
For a guy like,
but that is a key. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh no, sorry. Just for a guy like Eddie Johnson, I mean, I didn't really follow much of Seattle's games last season, but from the highlight goals and whatnot from Johnson, seemed like all his goals were set up pretty much by Mauro Rosales. Who's going to play set up to him in D.C.?
Well, I mean, you got Pontius will probably play behind him or just off of him. And Nick DeLeon always, you know, he could always be dangerous cutting in from that wing. Sean Franklin delivering balls. I mean, Eddie Johnson has, you know, he's proven for the U.S. at least he can head the ball into the back of the net off a really good cross. And Sean Franklin really bombs up and down that right side of the field. So, I mean, he'll get good service. It's just... he should get good service, so, you know, we don't know. So it depends if he puts in the back of the net. And if, like I said, if he's playing with Spindola, who is, in American term, he's a ball hog. He really is. He likes to have the ball at his feet, Spindola, and he will lose the ball more often than not. So I can't say I'm sorry to see him gone from New York, but will he take away from Eddie Johnson's service is the key question with that.
Yeah, there's only one ball on the field in the end, right?
Yeah.
I think you guys mentioned it. A key for them is going to be their fixture list. They're the defending Open Cup champions, so you know they'll want to play well in that tournament, try to go deep. They're going to be in the Champions League, which is a lot, coming from a Dynamo person here, is a lot of travel midweek down to Costa Rica, back to D.C. on Saturday, things like that. So they're going to be tested. I think it's going to be, like you guys said, how fast can they gel? How fast can they get up to speed as a team and get clicking? All right, DC United. Are they a playoff team after finishing last place in the Eastern Conference but coming away with silverware? Are they a playoff team? Gonna lean towards no. I think they can't afford too many points early, which I think may happen for them. So I'm gonna say no, but close, maybe sixth, seventh place, something like that. Rob, DC United, playoff team.
I'm gonna say yes.
All right, Philip.
Yeah, it's a tough decision, but I have them in. I am in round four.
Well, that'd be a pretty big jump from last season. JR, what do you think?
I'm going to say no. I don't think they'll get it together fast enough, and they're going to come up just short at the end.
Mike, DC,
no.
Are they in?
No. They'll just be out, though. And they're really going to – I mean, like we said, the crew's going to make life hell for a lot of the teams. They'll really give it to a lot of teams, but I mean, I see the East being separated by maybe 5 points from first through fifth. So I don't. I think they're just out.
All right. So moving from DC, we now move to America's team, the team in orange, the two-time MLS champions, Dominic Kinnear's boys. We, of course, talk about the Houston Dynamo. Not that I live in Houston or anything. But the Dynamo are one of those teams that every year you think you look in the middle of the mid-table. All of a sudden, come August, September, they turn it on. They make a playoff run. Dom Kinnear puts something in the water, and they're back in it. This season, however, as we talked about, the East is going to be tight, and they haven't done much, honestly. They lost Bobby Boswell. They brought in David Horst from Portland. They brought in Tony Cascio on loan from Colorado, the first intra-league loan, and Cascio's been tearing it up in the preseason. Brian Ching is gone, their captain, for some time, until he didn't really play much last year. Boswell, like I said, is gone. They lost Kalen Carr. They lost Cam Weaver. I think the big question for the Dynamo, as it's been in past years, is who's going to score the goals?
I mean, I've watched a couple of highlights from Cascio, and he looks good. If they go back to, I don't know if they have the people to play a 4-3-3, but I mean, him in the midfield next to Brad Davis and Bonilla Garcia, and that's that's really dangerous going forward, but who do you have doing the dirty work going back? And then Will Bruin, against New York in the regular season, he couldn't buy a goal. So he had a lot of chances that he just, I thought he was going to really push the Golden Boot last year, and he just kind of didn't.
Bruin's one of those guys that he misses some sitters, then he'll score two goals in a game, then he'll go 3 weeks without scoring. He's kind of up and down, and he's really all they have right now up front. Omar Cummings, can he stay healthy, is another big question. As some people on the round table may have seen, Omar Cummings played pretty well against the Red Bulls.
Oh, man. I was at that end of that goal in that playoff game. That was pretty painful to sit there and watch.
Omar Cummings, who did almost nothing all season, scores in both legs against the Red Bulls. So Cummings has it. He's done it before he did in Colorado. It's just, can he stay healthy, and can he and Bruin partner up front? Like we said, they have the midfield. Ricardo Clark, Brad Davis, Bonilla Garcia. Warren Cravall came into his own last year. They have Cassio now. I think the big thing with Cassio is it gives them an attacking midfielder, which they've lacked really since Dwayne De Rosario was in Houston. Last year they played Warren Cravall and Ricardo Clark in the middle a lot, and both those guys are more defensive midfielders, so they didn't really have anyone driving the center of the field. Brad Davis and Boniek, everything ran on the wings for the Dynamo, which was problems at times, which is why they play on that small little itty-bitty pitch at BBVA. But that's for another time. So can Houston find enough goals to stay in this competitive Eastern Conference is probably the big question. What do you guys think?
It's hard because you never want to bet against Dom Kinnear, because he's just gotten them there year after year no matter what. And they're not in Champions League this year for the first time in, what, like three seasons? So them not being in Champions League. But I think they have a lot of questions on defense. Ty Hall is a phenomenal keeper. But I don't see them making the playoffs. I think this is the last year for these guys, and I think Dom Kinnear might have to rebuild, or they might have to move on and change things around a bit. I have them just out, actually. I have them at sixth in my head, which is good because the Rebels are in the playoffs. Yeah. Houston's the one team I want to avoid.
I think that's kind of a sentiment around the league. If they get in, they're probably the team you don't want to see in that two-leg series.
No. Mm-mm.
Especially coming from Red Bulls Nation.
Yeah.
Up there.
I don't want to. It wouldn't be bad to turn into the next Sporting Kansas City for Houston, lose another year, and then win MLS Cup the following year. But I don't want to go through another playoff against Houston.
Yeah, they tend to turn it on a little in October. All right, so Houston, they've been to the playoffs every season in their existence except 1 year. They have the pedigree, but 2014, are they a playoff team? I'm going to show a little of the bias that's bleeding through this orange T-shirt I'm wearing. I'm going to say they make it in as the fifth seed, and they somehow make another run, but Bruin's got to score at least 15 goals this year for them to have a chance. Rob, the Dynamo.
I'm not feeling them this season. They're going to be competitive, but they're not playoffs.
You think?
Oh, I don't have them in, no. Did we just lose him?
I think we just lost him.
Oh, there he's back.
There he goes. All right.
Technical difficulties. I was talking all this about the Dynamo, and someone cut my Wi-Fi or something. One of my neighbors didn't like the me talking down about the Dynamo. Sorry, Rob, you were saying about Houston. You don't have to go back over it, but yes or no, they make it. All right, Philip, your nemesis, the Houston Dynamo, finally slayed last season. Are they a playoff team in 2014?
Yeah, Phil.
You guys still hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you. It's choppy a little bit, but I can hear you.
All right. Sorry, all the you guys out there watching, experiencing some technical difficulties, apparently. So it's a bad sign for the Dynamo because hangout is breaking up, and no one even wants to hear about the Dynamo. They're just being written off. So we're just gonna move on to the next team because I'm afraid I've just jinxed the entire hangout. So we'll move on now back to Rob's area. Rob's second favorite team, maybe the Montreal Impact. Who, if you listened last week, Rob called, I think, USL Pro level, maybe.
Oh, that's a
maybe
stretch.
Not that low.
You're gonna get me in trouble again, Dustin.
He did take. Yes, he took some heat on Twitter for bashing the Impact. So the Impact made the playoffs last year. They were then the wheels just came off at BBVA Copa Stadium. They lost 3-0. They had 3 red cards. It ended very poorly. With those red cards, their star striker Marco de Vaio will now be suspended to start the season. So that's not how you want to get things started for the new season. So Montreal, again, another team I think last week that some people were ready to just write off, that in this tough East they just don't have enough. They really haven't done much. Nesta retired. Davy Arnault is gone, their captain or former captain. They did bring in Santiago Gonzalez. Is Montreal a team to contend with? They seem to be an older team last year. They led the Eastern Conference. They were up at the top a lot of it. They kind of faded down the stretch. Can they come back? Is the big question, I think.
Oh, well, didn't they just also lose Nelson Rivas? Didn't they just send him down south somewhere?
I think he got injured.
Yeah, they're...
No, it was Houston Kamara got injured against New York on Saturday. Rivas was said somewhere. I don't remember where. I was reading on MLS Soccer that they were loaning him out, or I'm not sure. But it's, if you lose Kamara and you lose Nelson Rivas, who else do they have on defense? I'm gonna look that up actually.
Yeah, that's their big question. Rivas, he still shows that he plays for the Impact. I'm sure Brett will if he's left. But yeah, that's the big thing with Montreal. You know, they had some older guys last year in defense, and they were exposed badly in Houston in that playoff game. I know, just remember myself being there, seeing that it was ugly. They were never in that game, and they really haven't done anything this season to make anyone think that they're going to get back to where they were, especially in this Eastern Conference this year. Does anyone think Montreal can contend?
I think that they can contend. I mean, they may have lost some pretty vital pieces, but I mean, overall, I don't think the squad is bad by any stretch of the imagination. You know, DeVaio is a year older. Will he score as much as he did last season? Probably not.
Will he be offside as much? Probably.
But I mean, a guy like Patrice Bernier in the midfield, Hernan Bernardello, I mean, they've got class. Well, sorry, that's a bit of a stretch for what they were doing in Houston, but they've got some good players. They're going to be competitive, whether they're playoffs. I don't see them in the picture, but I think they're going to play a similar role to Columbus. They're going to play spoiler to some of the teams that we've mentioned that are competitors.
They're another team with a new coach, is JR, I'm sure you could speak to.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I don't know that Montreal is a playoff team this year, but I think, and I hate to speak ill of Frank Klopas because he's, of course, a legend here in Chicago, and he's a guy that we all loved, and, you know, as far as coaches go, though, I don't think they did themselves any favors by hiring Frank. And I think the thing that you'll see is if Montreal gets in a position where they get stuck in a rut or players not performing, he's very hesitant to go to the bench. He's very hesitant to try out young players. He's hesitant to make changes even when things aren't going right. And then when he does try to make changes and he goes out in the transfer market, he goes out and brings in some obscure player that no one's ever heard of, but the line is always the same thing. You know, we've been watching this player for a while. We like him. We like what he brings to the team. He's going to do well, and then 6 months later, he's on his way, and everybody's running around with pitchforks and everything. But, you know, I can tell you right now, when Montreal loses games this year, the post-game press conference will sound a lot like Frank saying, I think the boys played good today. I think we had some tough breaks. I think overall we performed well, and I mean he's got a script that he reads from every post-game press conference. Sounds the same for him. I can tell you right now that fans of Montreal are going to get sick of hearing that fast. But I do love Frank.
Of course, Nelson Rivas. I'm sorry, Nelson Rivas has a calf injury. That's why he went back to Colombia. He wasn't loaned or traded or sold.
So they're already showing their age in the defense, and it's just started. The season's not yet begun. So Montreal, we'll see how they do. They also will compete with Rob's boys in Toronto, the boys in Vancouver, the Canadian Championship. See if they can get to the Champions League, which it's always been a weird thing with Canada not being able to qualify through MLS and U.S. soccer, and we've discussed it on Twitter many times, so we won't get into that. But the only way they can make the Champions League is through the Canadian Championship or Amway or whatever y'all call it.
Yeah, it's funny. The American Way Canadian Championship. I don't know how I feel about
irony.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Montreal, can Marco de Vaio stay onside? It's probably their biggest question mark. I think he was off like more than 7 or 8 teams last year. He has a permanent residence offside. We'll see what he does this year. Montreal, are they a playoff team? This crowded East. I don't want to say they were a fluke, but honestly, I just don't see where they're going to be able to make up for all their holes. Rob, I know you picked them to finish 10th, thinking get relegated, and even though there is no relegation,
TFC would have been relegated a long time ago.
Do you think they make the playoffs?
No, I don't think they make the playoffs. And it would appear that we lost Dustin again.
Was he really choppy there for anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Sorry, I keep getting bounced off. Every time Rob tries to give prediction, my computer just doesn't want to hear from him.
It's because he's going to say Toronto's going to win the championship.
Montreal, with your former...
No, Montreal's out.
Yes.
Montreal's
exactly.
Out.
JR, your former coach, you have no faith in him.
No.
They're out, just like that.
They're
all
out.
Right.
They're out.
Mike, what do you think about the Impact?
No. I don't think they'll make it to the end of the season. I think the Vaio's probably coming to the end. I don't see them making it to the playoffs. Like a 7th or 8th seed at at best.
Philip, your thoughts on the late impact?
Yeah, I don't think they're a playoff team either, but I do see them playing the Toronto role and maybe sneaking the Canadian championship and getting into the Champions League.
I'm sure their supporters would take that. All right, so we move on to the New England Revolution. I know Seth Maycomber is not here. He would be touting their incredible young team, and now they've signed Teal Bunbury. They were so close last year at Sporting Park, took the eventual champs to extra time. They've now added Brad Knighton as their keeper. Bobby Shuttleworth still there after Matt Reese is retired. New England was one of those teams, I think last year everyone was kind of caught off guard, but I don't think you can call them a fluke with the young nucleus they have there. They have some guys that are playing together, growing together, young guys that are exciting to watch, and they showed it last year by coming on strong, making the playoffs. New England, I think they could be dangerous. Are they a team that makes the playoffs? I think most of us are going to say yes. Are they a team that can compete to win it all? That's the big question.
Well, is Charlie Joseph still in camp? Are they planning on using him as a number nine now? Because I know they let Kobayashi go today and another trialist.
I don't know if Shalri is going to play target forward anytime soon.
Well, he did for Shiggy last year. they're another team where they're very dangerous. They have a lot of different angles where they can attack you. Jay Heaps has done very well with that young core guys. This is, for most of them, their third season together now, so they have a lot of cohesion. Lee Wynn can bend in a free kick or hit a really nice ball. Can put on a couple of highlight reels. Bunbury looks like he could have a revitalized season there, much like Benny Philhaber did going the other way last year. He looks like a fine replacement for Agudelo. But they're rookies, Patrick Mullins, and I can't think of the other kid's name that came out of the combine, but
Newman.
Yeah, they're impressing in preseason Newman. Also. So they'll definitely be a playoff team, and they'll definitely be up there for a contender.
I think, and we haven't done our predictions officially for the site yet, but Seth is going to favorite this and listen to it over again. I think I'm going to pick Diego Fagundes to win the Golden Boot. I think this kid just got something special. He's fun to watch. He scores again. He's got a motor that he gets on the end of every ball, it seems. Like we said, now he's got Bunbury up front with him instead of Agudelo. We'll see how that works out on that turf at Gillette, if Bunbury's knees can hold up, which is probably one of their big question marks. But I don't think they might win a lot of 4-3 games, but they're going to score. Agreed?
Yeah.
All right, so New England. Is anyone worried about their back line, their new goalkeepers? Can they find a goalkeeper?
Well, I mean,
JR,
go ahead, JR.
No, I think they're going to be a playoff team. I don't know. They weren't a fluke last year, and I think you guys have pretty much covered it pretty well. They've gotten a little bit better, I think, in the offseason. They've added some players in the Bunbury, and I think... isn't Charlie Davies with New England again this year too? How many times is he gonna? How many penalties is he gonna draw this year for him? They'll get a few goals there, but I think they'll be a playoff team. I think they'll be one of the four or five team, 4 or 5 seed. I don't think they're really gonna scare too many teams come playoff time, but I think they'll get in there. And that's saying something. I mean, coming out of a deep conference in the East, I think they'll be good enough to get there. I don't think they'll be good enough to do anything when they do get there.
All right, so New England making the I think they get up to 2 or 3, which they were last year, the 3 seed. I think they're strong. You guys' thoughts on New England, Rob? Are they a playoff team?
I don't know. I've got them somewhere between 5th, 6th, actually. They're a solid team, but I mean, just the depth of the Eastern Conference this year is going to be incredible. And I mean, like you mentioned, Dustin Fagundes is probably going to have a solid season, but I just don't. I'm not sure. I would say conservatively they'll be 6th, but I mean, they're competitive. They'll put up a fight. That goes without saying. So for me, 5th or 6th.
All right, JR, do you think they make the playoffs again?
Yeah, I do think they make the playoffs, but yeah, I think they're going to be towards the 4th or 5th seed, and I don't think that they're going to get out, to move on in the playoffs.
Mike, what do you think about the Revs?
I think they're in. I was reading today that it's still going to be a goalkeeper battle between Shuttleworth and Brad Knighton. Shuttleworth has looked good for them the past 2 seasons when he's still looking for Reese. He's learned under Reese, who, you know, is one of the all-time greats for MLS. He's, you know, been there for forever, so it's not a bad guy to learn from. I mean, they're pretty solid all over the field. Their defense can be a little shaky, but like you said, they're going to score a lot of goals this season. They have a lot of firepower going forward, so yeah, they're in.
Philip, the Revs, in or out?
I believe they're in. They're not going to get to that top echelon yet for the Cup, but I believe they are about 1 or 2 years away. Another 1 or 2 pieces, and they can really do it. I think they have probably the most potential of any team in the Eastern Conference to do some damage in the future.
Yeah, definitely. They're probably built for the long haul. So we switch gears now to a team that, well, they contended last year. They won the Supporter Shield. They were unceremoniously dumped in their home field by America's team, the Houston Dynamo, in the playoffs. However, they did win their first piece of silverware. Their trophy case now has a beautiful Supporter Shield in it. The New York Red Bulls, the defending Eastern Conference regular season champions, they of course bring back their firepower that we all know about: Henri Cahill, Dax McCarty. They've added Bobby Convey. They brought in Richard Eckersley from Toronto, which I think was a not talked about, but a good pickup for them, especially with Barklage and Pierce and Holgerson and half their defense leaving. Mike, what's the feeling up there in the New York area? The Red Bulls ready to do it again?
For the first time in a very long time preseason, there's very positive thoughts coming from everywhere, because this team has talked about continuity. I mean, you know, Henri will constantly point to RSL or Kansas City as the keys, and why they've done well over the past few years is they've kept a lot of their core guys. And this is the first year where the week or 2 weeks after they get them to the playoffs, they don't cut more than half their roster. I mean, Holgerson was kind of a surprising let go, and so was Barklage. Pecky really didn't rate Barklage very high, as much as he played last year, and you know, as much as he was a fan favorite. I mean, people loved Brandon Barklage in New York. I mean, those 2 goals he scored against DC 2 years ago at home will never be forgotten. But, you know, they bring in Bobby Convey, who Pecky has played in central mid as an attacking mid, who he's played as a left mid, and he's played as a left back. He's looked good in all 3 spots. Bobby Convey was one of those, you know, super Red Bull killers at one point when he played for San Jose. Richard Eckersley looked fantastic against Montreal on Saturday night. I mean, I was really impressed with his first half display, and Henri actually even talked about it a bit. I think the big three, or the big four keys, 3 players, is going to be Lewin Dula, Sam, and Bradley Wright Phillips down the stretch. Lewin Dula, you know, didn't play for a year and a half professionally at all.
And then he comes on last year, and he's just not making as a striker, not working as a striker. And then in the end of the season, out of nowhere, he's at number 10. And he was feeding balls. I mean, sorry, JR, he tore up Chicago in that last game.
That was embarrassing.
Which, if that was any other day, or if Chicago didn't play New York on the last day, they would have been in the playoffs. Because I think it was just kind of destiny that, you know, Pecky, his first season as head coach, gets to lift that trophy over his head and show it to the supporters in the South Ward. I mean, I've never felt that stadium like that. And, you know, Lloyd Sam has looked very impressive up down the right side, and his criticism last season, in preseason they played, I forget, they played a foreign team down in Florida, actually down in Mexico, and Lloyd Sam didn't track back on a play, and Pecky barked at him that he didn't track back, and Lloyd Sam just gave him like a little hand gesture, like, whatever, and Pecky sat him for like the first couple of games. Lloyd Sam didn't really see the field, and he's done a complete 180. He tracks back. He's constantly an engine up and down. He's a more technically gifted Dane Richards, if you would believe that. And he does a lot of good defensive work now also. And then Bradley Wright Phillips, which is an ironic story, playing next to Henri, who Henri dethroned his father at Arsenal. You know, he can be in the right place at the right time. Keeping him healthy will be important. Like Lloyd Sam coming in 2 years ago late in the season, Wright Phillips came in and he just was injured for, you know, he missed a lot of games in between. And then it's going to be Henri's contract. It's going to be a very big issue. He's in his last year with Major League Soccer. He wants to focus now. He wants to win MLS Cup this year, but the Red Bulls are going to force negotiations with him. They want to know by mid-season whether he's going to retain his spot and stay another season, or if he's going to call it quits, at least in MLS. Because if not, they're going to have to bring in they're going to have to replace him with another big name DP, hopefully somebody a little bit younger. You know, there's a lot of talk of Drogba and, you know, all the names that get thrown around New York. I mean, Javi was one which, you know, everyone was fawning over, which is just kind of ridiculous. But, you know, it's nice to dream that Javi could be pulling strings in the midfield. Although, you know, so, I mean, New York's criticism of the last couple of seasons have been them not having a true number 10 and not a creative midfielder. And Tim Cahill quickly quips back saying, well, we scored the most goals last season, so I don't see why we need a creative midfielder. And he's right. I mean, they have a lot of attacking depth. It's going to be, can their defense, you know, what's their starting defense going to look like? Is it going to be a lot? I mean, Olave, you can pencil him in or put him in pen that he'll be starting one of the center backs. But will it be Amando or Sagaya starting next to him? I mean, he's starting next to both of them this preseason. And then Roy Miller, who scored his first ever professional goal for the Red Bulls in preseason against Montreal on Saturday, will most likely be the left back. And then I could say right now, Eckersley looks like he'll start over Kimura. But then it comes down to CCL play. You know, they'll have for the first time in a very long time, they'll have a very congested schedule. So it's, well, how will they deal with the traffic or the travel? How will they deal with the, you know, the rotation of a lot of their older players? I mean, Cahill is going to be gone for the World Cup. Henri will be gone during the World Cup doing commentary for Sky Sports over in England, actually. So when they play the Open Cup, those games, he won't be there. So they'll have to rotate some of their players. But, you know, this preseason they're showing well. Ruben Bovaer, Michael Bustamante, you know, Dax and Eric Alexander look like they'll have a very nice lock in the middle of the field. So, I don't know. Continuity seems to be the key to them this season, and if they can stay healthy and rotate players, they'll be fine.
I don't think anybody can really break down the Red Bulls any better than that. I think that about covers them. So I think the question for them is, does anyone have them not making the playoffs? Silence. I think them and one of the teams we're about to talk about are probably the two teams that everyone considers almost locks in this Eastern Conference. So I think that about covers the Red Bulls. We'll move on to one of their rivals down the freeway, the Philadelphia Union. The Union also did not make the playoffs last year. They finished seventh They've brought in Maurice Adu. They've brought in Andre Blake, the number one pick in the Super Draft. They've brought in Vincent Nogueira from France. Maidana. They've brought in some players. They've talked about going to a 4-3-3. It looks like a whole new, which are kind of a lot of these team, East teams are, a whole new look. Michael Farfan gone to Liga MX. Jeff Park's gone. Chris Albright retired. The big thing for the Union, again, like some other teams we talked about, can they get these new guys together? They've looked pretty well and looked pretty good in the preseason. Philip, I know you're close to them. Do you have any insight on the Union up there, what they've done in this offseason?
I mean, I definitely like the pieces they're bringing in the offseason. I didn't like the Blake trade first at the draft. I thought it was very unnecessary. But it does tell you that if they're so gung-ho to get somebody like that, a goalkeeper like that, to make a trade and to give them allocation money, it means Zach McMath's probably on the way out. He may compete for a spot, but it's going to be Andre Blake's job to lose. And I think they're moving on. In terms of, you know, they're switching to a 4-3-3. I mean, it's a formation I've always liked. It's more attacking. Obviously, being a following Sporting, if they use as well. So but I think it's a great sort of mix between attacking it and defensive that really everybody should be getting more for than a old traditional 4-4-2 or formation like that. I don't think they're playoff contenders yet. I think they would be very close. I have them at sixth, but I think I do want to see maybe another piece added on to before I want to solidly put them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're one of those teams that I've kind of gone back and forth on too. You know, do they have enough? What's Adu's role going to be?
Yeah.
What's their goalkeeping, which is a big question mark. And I think I'm kind of along the lines of you. I think they're 6-7. They'll be there, probably. But I'm with you. I don't think they have quite enough to get there to the playoffs. Rob, you see the Union returning to the playoffs?
See, when we were talking about the Revs, I have the Revs and the Union bouncing back and forth between 5th and 6th. So I think they've got a shot, but I don't know. They've made some pretty impressive moves, picking up Maurice Adu. That'll be helpful for them in the midfield. But it's going to be tough. The Eastern Conference, again, is just so tight. So they'll be close. They'll be 5th or 6th.
JR, Union.
No, with me,
Dan.
With me having the Revs in, I've got the Union out. I really hope that somebody proves us all wrong and runs away with the East this year, because it's really making our life tough right now to pick these five playoff teams. Everybody keeps saying the same thing. The East is going to be so tight. I hope the Fire just blow everybody out.
Of course the Fire, yes.
Yeah, of course, no.
The Fire will be the ones.
I think the Union will be a good team. I think they'll miss out. You know, I think they got a great player today, like we talked about earlier, in Austin Berry, who's a great defender, but he's also a player on set pieces that can get up and get his head to the ball, and he may score a couple goals for him that way this year too. But ultimately, I think with them out.
Yeah, Berry, I think, is going to be big for them in that back line, but yeah. Not quite enough. Mike, do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, Blake will definitely be their starting keeper. McMath, I mean, I don't know who could really use a goalkeeper. I mean, maybe Columbus, but he just hasn't been, you know, he's lost a lot of games for them the last two seasons. He lost a lot of, you know, a lot of points for them. Berry will be huge for them. Their defense looked pretty porous without him, but you know, now he comes in. But it's, you know, who else play in the back line? You know, you'll have him and Channing Williams. But I mean, Maurice Adu will be a really good addition for them in the midfield. It'll make teams going to the middle
a little bit more difficult. But if they do play a 4-3-3, you know, it's going to come to, is Jack Mack going to be cold again for the majority of the season? He started off so hot last year, where everyone thought he was going to run away with the Golden Boot, goes to the Gold Cup, doesn't play, and that's just it for Jack Mack the rest of the season. So they need, like DC needs Pontius to have a breakout, you know, another good season. That's what Philly needs to get into the playoffs. They need McMath to be on his game, along with Latou and with Connor Casey. They have three guys that have scored a lot of goals in MLS. Well, two guys, and then McMath was on his way. Jack Mack was on his way. But, yeah, but if he's cold again all season, they're going to be at the bottom of the East. Because you can't always rely on set pieces. I mean, they'll score goals on set pieces with Austin Barry, that's for sure. He'll probably be my fantasy lineup just because of his set piece ability. But after that, it's if they go to a 4-3-3, it's who plays where in that 4-3-3. Is Connor Casey playing a false number 9? Is Jack Mack playing in the middle? Latou, will he be out on the wings again? Because Latou does not like playing out on the wings. When he was here in New York two seasons ago, Hans Bacca had him playing out. They kind of went between a 4-4-2 and a 4-3-3 when they would transition, and he just couldn't stand playing on the wing. So, I mean, look, that he's back in Philadelphia, maybe his tune has changed. I really don't know. But I don't see him in the playoffs. But if they keep this group together, maybe another season, and they'll be in there.
All right, Philip, the Union, do they make the playoffs?
Not this year.
1 year away.
Yep.
All right. We've got two teams left. We're a little over an hour. If you're listening to this on iTunes and you're running and you're trying to get finished, sorry, run a little longer. We're now to probably the two teams that, well, one of the teams that with the most intrigue, and well as the defending champions. We're, of course, talking about Sporting City. They won MLS Cup last year at home in that dramatic cup final against RSL. They've lost their captain, Jimmy Nielsen, who has retired and is now coaching. They just traded Teal Bunbury. They brought in Grunebaum, who will get Phillip's opinion on this, but is he their starting keeper? They also brought in Sal Zizzo, who I think is a big piece for the 4-3-3. I think he fits in well there in Vermi's system. Philip, what are the feelings? Is a repeat likely?
No. And I said this at the beginning of last season that I didn't think they were going to win the cup only because they're going to have a tough schedule with adding Champions League. And this is just compounding it. I think they're going to win one trophy. I think they have a good... I think their best shot is the Supporters' Shield or the Open Cup. I'd like to be wrong. I just think there's too many games that they're going to be playing to be the favorite for the Cup.
Yeah, I think they run into the same thing that a lot of teams run into, and it's coming from a Houston perspective, the Dynamo have run into just that fixture overload. Yeah. Getting into all those extra games.
Yeah, and you also have to figure, in the beginning of the season, they're playing in Cruz Azul, who is on a roll in the Mexican League, and the thought process in Kansas City is they really believe they can make a run at the Champions League. I don't know if they can do it. They have a tough opponent first, but I think if they can get by Cruz Azul, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, someone's got to knock off one of those Mexican teams, bring the Champions League back to MLS, really. Yeah, I think it's going to be big. You know, their big stars, Zusi, Beisler, are obviously probably starters on the national team.
Yeah.
So it's going to be their depth. It's going to be tested with that, with their fixtures, with, yeah, you know, just a lot of things. It's going to be a tough year for them. I mean, they have the talent, obviously, to fight through that, but can they go through that long season again? Can they repeat? Can they stay near the top of the table? It's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, that would be the question. And and the way Peter Vermees, you know, has a system, he runs them hard. So if anyone can do it, it'd be them.
Yeah, I agree with that. So Sporting Kansas City, the defending champs, are they a playoff team again? As much as we talked about them possibly struggling, I just think they're too good to not get there. I still think they're second, third in the East when it all comes to the playoffs. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I've got them winning the East, actually.
All right. JR?
Yeah, I think they're second or third as well. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun to watch Dom Dwyer as he gets hopefully a full season in Kansas City. Now he won't bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
Yes, USL Pro star Dom Dwyer. Hopefully we get to see him blossom outside of Orlando. I think he's another guy like Fagundes. It's going to be fun to watch this year. Mike, what are your thoughts on KC?
Yeah, they're in. They're one of those teams where it's just dangerous, and you don't every time they come on the fixture list, it's a team that you know you probably don't want to see your team playing because they'll probably be on some sort of roll. And if they're not, if they're on a slide, it's you don't want to be playing them because they're going to use you to get out of that slide. So I'm debating if because the East is almost like the West last year where it was too close. And the East was close last year also, but I think a lot more teams are picking points up another. So I don't know if the supporter shield comes out of the East. If it does, though, my money would be on Sporting.
All right, Philip, your MLS Cup champion scarf hanging in the background.
Yeah.
Do they make the playoffs? I think you're going to say yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Can they make another run at it? You're hesitant to say that. Right?
Yeah, I mean it's also very early, so I know Rob Heineman has been saying that he wants to go for a DP. A lot of people wanted to be in the winter. More realistically, it's going to happen in the summer. So yeah, we'll see about that. If they can get somebody, I mean they put out a full front against trying to get Michael Bradley, which failed, but it showed that. When they find a player they want, they're going to try to do all they can to get him.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that, you know, they're going to give everything to not only win one trophy, they're one of those teams that probably is eyeing multiple hardware this year. All right, so we're going to... Yeah, go ahead, finish.
No, I was going to say, they're one of those teams that they don't take a competition off. They're probably in Orlando as we speak, wanting to win the Disney Pro Soccer Classic as well.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. There's one team left, unless I've totally forgotten it, someone. There's one team left. They hail from Rob's neck of the woods. They're the darlings of the preseason, the offseason. They're a bloody big deal now. They are, of course, Toronto FC. We've seen all of their moves, and I don't have to recap them. I'm sure everyone is well aware of what they've done this offseason. Some shocking, some very shocking. I think Bezbachenko and Lywicki are putting MLS on notice. The first question being, again, like we talked about earlier, can this team come together? They have so much star power. Rob, can they find their medium and come together and be a solid team week in and week out?
Well, that's going to be the hardest thing, I'm sure. It's going to be a similar situation to what's happening at DC. Just all kinds of people coming in, all people from, you know, different leagues. Not even with DC, at least they're all MLS vets of some sort. But a lot of our guys are coming in from, barring Justin Morrow, Jackson, and Dero, the guys that we're relying on for scoring are from the EPL and from Brazil, and Gilberto and Jermaine Defoe. On paper, TFC is, you know, they are the situation that's gone from worst to first. On paper, of course. Looking at preseason so far, they haven't exactly been impressive. You know, a win, a loss, and a draw being against Orlando the other night. But and they did one of their famous give up a goal in the last couple minutes too. So the hardest thing is just going to be coming together as a team. They're solid all over the pitch. You know, you got a guy like Michael Bradley winning the ball and, you know, distributing it. You got a guy like Jermaine Defoe who's, you know, who's been able to produce for a top squad in the EPL for, you know, his entire career, more or less. Gilberto is coming off a solid season at Portuguesa. They're solid. They're going for it. You know, after the first couple of moves to bring in D-Row and Jackson, you know, Justin Morrow at the back line, you could kind of tell that, you know, Tim Leitwicki's trying to follow up on his promise because he doesn't want to look like a fool. But going after Jermaine Defoe was the bloody big deal, but it just got a whole lot bigger when they were able to pull off Michael Bradley as well. So being able to bring in both of those guys, you know, all kinds of experience in the both of them. You know, Michael Bradley coming from AS Roma, learning under, you know, two greats in Daniele De Rossi and Francesco Totti. You can't teach. Well, I shouldn't say you can't teach, but he's learned, and he's a solid guy. I mean, you guys can attest to it, what he does for the U.S. national team. So if he's able to do, you know, even half of what he's shown he's capable of, TFC is going to be a strong team. But most of the pressure is going to be on, clearly, the DPs that we've signed. But, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm being too conservative, because I think they're going to have a very good season. But you've got to almost question some of the depth up front, because with the recent injury, season-ending injury for Bright DK, he was going to be our number one guy coming off the bench. So, you know, you're looking to Andrew Wiedemann, who, you know, he pulls off some goals here and there, but he's far from, you know, the guy who's going to light it up. But they're a playoff team. That's where I'll leave it. TFC will be in the playoffs this season. As long as they're able to gel and pull it all together, they're going to be all right.
Yeah, and again, that's a pretty good breakdown of Toronto right there. I think, and just to echo what Rob said, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a fun season to watch, whether they take the league by storm or they totally go down in a blaze of glory. Either way, it's going to be interesting to watch. So, guys, Toronto in the playoffs, I'm going to say yes. I probably have 7 teams in the playoffs. I haven't even been keeping track. But I'm going to say yes. Rob, you say yes. JR, Toronto, what do you think?
Yeah, they're in.
Mike?
I have them in at 5th.
All right, their first ever playoff appearance. Philip, what do you think? Toronto, they did enough?
Yeah, I had them at 1st. The two main things they have going for them is they don't have to play Champions League. They're playing in the Canadian Championship, so I believe it's fewer games that they would have to play rather than the U.S. Open Cup for the team that wins. And they also have until... I tell this for every fan of every team. February, March, you know, you're kind of getting in the rhythm. Toronto's big question mark is the team playing together. Well, you have time to do that. And without Champions League, you're kind of good until September. And really, I don't think anyone's really putting them out of the playoffs, so they can really use the season as a sort of, you know, practice together for the playoffs, which I believe by then they'll have 6 months to be a team. I think they're going to be just fine.
All right.
Sorry, guys. I just wanted to point out one other thing. The contract, the DP contract for Matias Laba, still nothing on that front yet. We've heard in the news some rumors with Chivas and Columbus, But besides that, if Bezbachenko is able to pull off the incredible with head office and TFC is able to keep him, that's just, you know, another notch. And I think that'll put them over the top. If they're able to keep a guy like Laba, who showed that he's capable of essentially doing what Michael Bradley will be doing, I think that'll be pretty incredible.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting story to watch to see what happens with him, whether he's loaned, whether he gets to stay, whether MLS makes up a rule. I know that's not something they normally do, but you never know. All right, so we'll wrap things up here with our East champions. Philip, you've got Toronto winning the East, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Mike, who do you think wins the East?
It's going to be close between Sporting and New York again. Another point or two differentiating between them, but I think I have Sporting edging them out just because they've played Champions League and New York hasn't, so I'll have to rotate a bit more.
JR, who do you think wins the East?
I think it'll be New York, actually. I think the continuity is there, and I think the team's only going to be stronger this year than they were last year. I don't think they'll do anything in the playoffs, but I think they'll win the East.
you have one in the East.
I've got Kansas City with New York falling closely at second, so I'm with Mike on that.
All right, and I'm going to finish it off. I'm going to go to the scarf wall for my Eastern Conference pick. I'm going to go with the Rebels. I think they've come close. I think Henri wants, and they win it this year. Maybe Henri runs off in the sunset, but I think this is their year to put it together. They'll be tested, as we've said, with a very tough Eastern Conference, but it pains me to say I'm going to go with the Red Bulls. So that's going to wrap up our Eastern Conference preview. I know we went a little long. Apologies for the length. If you've been watching the whole time, we commend you. If you're going to listen the whole time to the audio, we commend you as well. I'd like to thank all the guys that joined us here for the roundtable tonight. Mike, JR, Rob, Philip, guys, appreciate it. Yep. Next week, we will be previewing the Western Conference. We'll have some of our Western Conference writers on. We'll probably start a little later just for those Western Conference guys to be able to join us. We haven't nailed down a time yet, but stay on the lookout on Twitter. We'll have that up for you. That'll be next Monday night. We'll preview the Western Conference in MLS. Till then, thank everybody for listening to the Roundtable, and we will talk soon.